Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of John chapter 12. The title of today's sermon is Walk in the Light. If I were to ask you what the difference between our Creator God and the devil, you would use the one word, light. Light. Genesis 1, 1 through 4. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Heaven is a place of light, and hell is a place of darkness. Heaven is a place of joy, and hell is a place of sorrow. Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness." Shall we stand together, John chapter 12, and we will begin reading at verse 32. John chapter 12, and we'll begin reading at verse 32. Jesus speaking, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard that out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day that we can come, for the songs sung, Lord, even for the opportunity to give our tithes and offerings. And Lord, now as we look into your holy word, may we be blessed and encouraged. And Lord, may we be found faithful serving you when you call us home. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verses 32 and 33, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. He only could and would be crucified and sacrificed for our sins. Though on the Day of Atonement there were those animals that were sacrificed, they, as Dr. Mark said, only covered the sin. Jesus died so that the sins could be removed for all time. He only could and would be our Redeemer, our Savior for our salvation. He only provides salvation. Verse 35 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Walk while ye have light." May I say this, the light is getting dim in our country. The light is getting dim in our world. As man and woman rushes headlong away from God and away from Jesus and away from the light, our world gets darker. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sure that you have read 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4, where we're going to be spending some time. But we know that Perilous times are coming. Notice what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Paul writing to the young preacher, Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Paul was not saying it might come or it could come. He said it shall come. Don't be ignorant that in the last days perilous times shall come. Friends, fellow believers, perilous times have come. They are here. We have a society that believes that we do not need God. You say, well, how did this happen? Well, two ways. Number one, there are simply those who do not believe there is a God. But second, we find that for many generations now, they have been taught evolution. And that we happen to be here, that there was no creator God, that there was no person that designed us, that we are here by happenstance, that we live like the dog and that we will die like the dog, so eat, drink, and be merry. And if you teach that long enough and hard enough, sooner or later, people will believe you. And so the darkness began to creep in, and it has even creeped into churches where they say God used evolution to bring us to where we are today. That is, of course, a lie of the devil. Well, we know that God did not use evolution, that he created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." There is the walking in darkness. Lovers of their own selves. Me first. That is our society. Me first. Covetous. Me first. We must be careful in this society that has so much to offer. And the technology is amazing. And the fact that we have medicines that cure so many things. And doctors are able to do so much. But we find that we are never satisfied. We always want more. Me first. Boasters. What was that song? "It's hard to be humble." You know, sometimes it is hard to be humble because we live in an amazing time. Me first. Blasphemers. There are those who say, "I am God. We are all gods." Me first. We have those who are disobedient to parents. Now, we don't have to talk about that one, do we? Do we live in a society where today's children want to be the parent? Do we live in a society today in which children are given far more ability to do wrong than ever before? And we justify it and we say it's just a phase or just something they're going through. We find that children are taught, should be taught to be obedient. Disobedient to parents. Me first. The Bible tells us in chapter, verse 2, unthankful. You know, if there is no God, to whom are we thankful? If there is no God, are there rights and wrongs? Are there absolutes? Well, there are absolutes. There are responsibilities. Unthankful. Me first. Do we live in a society that believes in entitlement? Yes. I deserve it. Not if I can afford it, I can pay for it. No, I deserve it. And if I can't pay for it, you need to pay for it for me. I'm thankful. Unholy. me first. Who had those first thoughts? Lucifer. And then he convinced a third of the angels to follow him. Then he was able to get Adam and Eve to do that which is wrong. Me first. Why did Eve eat the fruit? Me first. Why did Adam then eat the fruit? Me first. Verse 3, as we see walking in darkness, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Without natural affection, me first, it means to be ungoverned, uncontrolled, unrestrained. Without natural affection, we could talk about those who are of the homosexuals of today. They don't want to follow what is right. While at the pastor's meeting up in Kinross at the Fundamental Baptist Church, they had one of the state representatives there. His dad is a Baptist preacher, and he was born again and serves it as the Senate. And his whole campaign, now you can't imagine this, his whole campaign was, we need to live morally right. And he won. He won. And I asked him, I said, what are you going to do about this bathroom issue? Now, he says it's the school people that are in charge of the schools have passed this, but he said the state law is not this yet. You need to contact your political person and let them know we don't want to make it law. But we live in a society where if I decide that, even though I was born a male, if I think I'm a female, then what am I? Well, I guess I'm a female, right? Because I think I am. Well, what if I think I'm a dog? Well, you know that's coming, don't you? You know, I think I'm a cat. I think I'm a horse. I think I'm an elephant. Are they going to put them in a zoo? I don't know. But we live in a strange society. Well, can you imagine in Jesus' day if some man would have said, well, you know, I'm not really a man, I'm a female. What would they thought of that guy? They'd think, you're nuts. What should we be thinking? You're nuts. What's wrong with our society that says it's all right? They're nuts. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. Do we have those who were truce breakers? Let me ask you a question. Why do so many Native Americans have problems with white men? They broke their word, right? They broke their truces. They kept moving them west. They pushed them off their lands after declaring, you can live here and we'll live here. Truce breakers. Do we have truce breakers in our society today? Oh, I know they call them politicians. But there are honest politicians. You need to pray for them because they're few and far between. Truce breakers, me first. False accusers, me first. Incontinent. Now, that's not something we go around talking about. But it's without self-control, lacking self-restraint. Does that sound like our society today? Absolutely. Lacking self-restraint. Fierce. I looked that up. Fierce means brutal, cruel, bloodthirsty, furious. Me first. Despisers of those that are good. Now that doesn't happen in our society, does it? No. Me fear first. Verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Traitors. Me first. Those who betray friendship. Those who are double crossers in business, those who are deceivers, those who are not loyal, even to their Christian brothers and sisters. Heady, meaning willful, stubborn, rash. High-minded, again, me first, feeling that their way must be right. But then we find the last phrase. Yes, despisers of those that are good. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And Paul writes, from such turn away. Having a form of godliness. There are many houses of worship today that have a form of godliness. But they are denying the power thereof. I believe it's important that we use the Word of God in our services. Do you realize that in some of our houses of worship, they use half a verse? They may use a verse. Folks, we want to have a lot of the Bible in our service. It's why Brother Wutke reads to us. It's why Dr. Mark takes a verse and explains it to us. It's why we use the Word of God in our sermons, because the Word of God is important. Verses 12 and 13. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Our country has been blessed for many years with freedom of religion. Do you know there are those in our political world today that want to remove many of those freedoms? Do you know that in Russia, that, is it Putin? He wants to make it illegal to invite someone to their church under terrorists. He wants to make it illegal to have more than a few people worshiping together without the political people knowing that you're getting together. Now you say, what is happening? They're wanting to remove religious freedom. You say, well, that will never happen here. It can. It can. Do you pray for your country? You need to pray for your country. You say, Pastor Paul, don't shame me. If you're not praying for your country, I do want to shame you. You need to be praying for your country. Are you praying for the salvation of our president? Do you think that he could be saved? Let me ask you something. What do you think could happen if Barack Obama had someone talk to him and say, you know, you need to look at this a little bit differently. What would happen if he was able to testify to him in such a way that he says, you're right. I need to get saved. Wouldn't that be great? And what if he said, I'm going to make a difference? Wow. You say, well, that could never happen. Of course it could happen. Wasn't the Apostle Paul saved? What was Apostle Paul trying to do? He wanted to kill Christians. Wouldn't it be fantastic? You say, oh, it won't happen. Oh, our God is able to do anything. Pray. Pray for your country, because your country needs it. We need a country that wants light and not darkness. Notice verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, walking in darkness. Jesus said, walk in the light. What are we to do? We are to walk in the light. We should be bothered by darkness. Friday night, Donna wanted to go over to Ypsilanti to go to a art it wasn't really an art fair. It was photography, an open house, an art open house, because one of her friends was going to have pictures of you know what, butterflies. And so we drove over to Ypsilanti. Don't you love driving on the freeway around 4 o'clock? Don't you think driving over to Ypsilanti on a Friday, leaving here at 4 o'clock would be exciting? The thing started at 5, and we got there at 5:30, an hour and a half. Oh, well, okay. So anyways, we did that and saw the pictures, and it was kind of neat, and they had pictures of places in Michigan, and that was cool, and other places, and we enjoyed it, especially enjoyed the crackers and the food. That was good. I didn't know they were going to have food, but it makes things a whole lot easier when your belly's full. But afterwards, we're there in Ypsilanti, and we're thinking, well, why don't we walk around? Ypsilanti's such an exciting place. And so Donna said, she had been talking to somebody, and they said, well, go over here. They have things for sale that you can wear. And I'm thinking, isn't that amazing? Women just love to shop for clothes. And so we walked over there. The name of it was Mix. M-I-X, right? Mix. So we walk into this place, and I'm thinking, we aren't in Kansas anymore. And they knew we didn't belong in that store. Did you notice that? When we walked in, it was like, what are you doing here? Now, here we're in a store, and they had cheese. Yeah, they had cheese. It was cheese with cinnamon on it. And they had wine. And I'm thinking, nobody would know. I didn't think that at all. No, I didn't think that at all, please. But when we left that store, I felt like I needed to go and take a bath. Nobody had to tell me this store was not meant for heterosexuals. This store was not meant for Donna and me. Now you say, well, can those people be saved? What do you think?
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, they can't be saved if we don't talk to them. Correct? They can't be saved if they don't know. See, for many of those people, they've been brought up in this evolutionary teaching that they can do whatever they want. But the fact of the matter is immorality. Correct? Yes. You know, the fact of the matter is we need to be a light. And I'm glad that when we walked in there, they knew there was something different about these two people. And I guarantee you, they were glad when we walked out. But we are living in a world that's full of darkness. See, there was a time that wouldn't have happened on Main Street in Ypsilanti. Today, hey, let's celebrate. Why? Because we're living in darkness. But people have souls, and they are going to die, and they're either going to go to heaven or where? Hell. And hell is for how long? Forever. And I don't buy this when people say, well, it's all right, I'm going to take a six-pack and a deck of cards. No, in hell they're going to be by themselves in torment with their memories. With their memories. Verses 15 through 17. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Do you think there's any better gift you can give your children than the Scriptures? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Did you notice that? All scripture. Do you realize that there are churches that teach that the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis are either not to be taken as truth or they don't use them at all? You cannot believe John 3:16 if you don't believe Genesis 1:1. For the same God that created us is the same God that sent the Son to die. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Do you believe that? Say amen. The Word of God is special, the Word of God is powerful, and the Word of God is needed. But let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Yes, it's all right to have a few stories, and yes, it's all right to have a few poems, and yes, it's all right to give some illustrations, but preach the word. Notice, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, the very things that most people don't want in their sermons. One church has recently said, you can come here and you won't be made to feel guilty. Then why go to church? Reprove means to admonish, to warn, to scold, to counsel. To rebuke means disapproval, to reprimand. To exhort means strongly advise, direct in a right way, give guidance. This is what you're going to do in the times that are dark, in those perilous times. Verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The time has come. But may I say this? It's not the first time this has happened. Many times during the history of man have they drifted from the light, have they drifted from the truth, but there has always been a remnant that has stayed true. We need to be that remnant. We need to be that group that is shining the light. Hal Lindsey wrote a book once, Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, and he is alive. And he knows his time is short. And he's doing everything he can to bring people into his kingdom. Number one, they will not endure sound doctrine. Does that sound like today? After their own lusts. They don't want the truth. They would rather believe a lie. It says they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The truth will bother us, and false doctrines will deaden the itch. And so people go where they are not going to feel convicted to do that which is right. Many churches today no longer have invitations because they don't want people to feel uncomfortable. Well, if the Lord is dealing with you, you should be glad for an invitation. May we note, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. If you go from the truth, you have to go somewhere. And so they turn to fables. Quickly, back to the... Well, we don't have time. We'll close with my conclusion. The book of Joshua, chapter 24. I'll turn there, verses 14 and 15. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. May I say the same message that Joshua gave in his day, I give today. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Walk in the light. Shall we stand together? 401 is our invitation song. 401, only trust him. Only trust him. Shall we stand and let us pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that you would bless this invitation time as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.